that perhaps was when that was spoken, when God said it's not good for man to be alone. But I like to look at all areas, all parts of it, because I like to say that when God made that statement, nobody initiated that but him. And to me, that means that Adam, though he was alone, he didn't know it. God knew it. Adam didn't have a clue he was alone. Apart from what God had created and set before him, Adam always knew that God was with him. They used to walk in the garden in the cool of the day. So Adam was aware that God was with him. And I don't believe that at that time Adam got lonely. Adam had friendship. He had fellowship. He had everything in the garden that he named. So basically everything that Adam saw belonged to him. That's my giraffe. That's my rhinoceros. Those are my cheetahs. So Adam was operating in ownership. And when you operate in ownership with someone over you, Adam just knew he was doing business for God. We talk. We get along well. Loneliness never entered into the picture. Being alone never crossed his mind. Adam never knew that he needed a woman. Isn't that something? I would like to say that might have been sad, but you know, if you never had that feeling, how could you be sad about it? Adam's joy and contentment was found in his fellowship with the Father. God was truly Adam's father. And so God looked down and he saw some things that would be needful in the future. And it is an amazing thing how God, before he can even create something, knows exactly how it's going to behave. Most of us have children. We hope they behave like we want them to. But God already knows how his creation is going to behave, how they're going to react, and how they're going to treat one another. He knows that down the road, if he's going to have a generation, and he's going to tell Adam some things that he wants to continue, he knows that there's going to be some mishaps and shortcomings. So he looks at man, and he knows that in order to procreate and fill this earth, before he even give them the command, before he even gives them the command to repopulate, he had to have someone who could do it. And Adam couldn't do it alone. If it would have been, you know, God could have. He could have just created a repopulating man. Just reproduce. He could have done that. My mind cannot grasp what God could have done. I can hardly wrap my mind around the things that he's done. He has done some amazing things. And my mind cannot contain some of the things that he's already done. So there's no need for me to try to project what would have or could have happened. But God saw that man needed a woman. He needed an object to give love, and he needed an object to receive love. Giver, receiver. Giver, receiver. And God said, it is not good that man be alone. I believe that somewhere he knew that man could be quite an interesting individual when left all by himself. Because man is naturally and spiritually creative. Adam would have become very creative. And that part of him, I didn't think God wanted to be privy to. What he was capable of doing. Capable of being. And so he makes this statement that it's not good for man to be alone. Today's message is never alone. All through the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. And we want to look at loneliness and alone and peer through heaven's windows what lonesome or being alone or loneliness. We want to see what these can bring with them. Because I'm of the opinion that anything that has to do with our emotions or our soulless realm has a back door. God from Zion. I believe that anything that has to do with us and part of our soul has a back door. I believe that the enemy looks for any back door to get into a get a foothold into our soulless realm. In the Old Testament, we hear the word enemy often. We hear terms like possessing the gates of your enemies. Your enemies shall fall before you, treading down your enemies. God will deliver you from the hand of your enemies. He prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. And in the Old Testament, the enemies of God and his people seem to be more figurative. They were more real. They were people just like us. That's where most of their enemies dwelt. They dwelt in a realm of just like you, me, and you. They were personal enemies. This king against that king. This person against that person. This nation against that nation. Even David had his Goliath.
Amen.
These are enemies, physical enemies. And we hear that term used more in the Old Testament than you can imagine, because it was constant war, constant battle, constant conflict. But in the New Testament, even though you do have some of these same instances, the majority of our enemies are basically spiritual.
Amen.
The writer said that the warfare that we're in is not a warfare of flesh and blood. He alludes to the fact that this is a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
So you may have some enemies. You may have enemies on your job.
Yeah.
But I want to say that they are basically being influenced. And so what we're dealing with now is a more spiritual dose of enemy. And they have more of a spiritual nature. And David recognized this when he understand those who are spiritually influenced. In Psalm 27:11, he said, when he discerned this, he said, Lord, teach me your ways and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. David could see enemies with his natural eyes, but he knew there was influences behind those. And he was asking the Lord, you lead me. And see, sometimes when we're faced with those kind of situations, we don't have time to get dressed and fight the enemy. The first place of business should be, Lord, lead me. Because if you're going to have a fight, you're going to have it regardless. Sometimes the Lord leads you in the way you should go, and that way should be a time of battle. Sometimes you got to fight. You can't cower. You can't cower behind the robe of Jesus all the time. Sometimes you got to fight with your own natural character. You got to have a nature of understanding that there's something on the inside of you that's greater. See, once you get a knowledge of the greater one living in you, it ought to change your way of thinking. Once you get a knowledge of the holy, it changes the way you think, because there's some things in you that you can lean on. Instead of leaning on the outside, you can lean on some things on the inside. that will show you that you are more than what you see in the mirror. And so David said, Lord, lead me in the way that I should go. Make my path smooth. I know I got enemies. And I know I got to fight some. That's why the writer said, fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
Because there's something you must do. I know you hear the word rest and you think that means just lay down and do nothing. You hear the word wait and that means don't do anything. And we get those connotations without really understanding what they mean. And when God tells us wait on the Lord, he doesn't mean just sit down in the chair and look for the Lord. And, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just waiting on the Lord. What door are you coming through? What window? Well, I'm just waiting. No. Waiting is doing something. Being busy still. You see, it carries a real connotation of a waiter in a restaurant waiting on the Lord. What can I do for you, Lord? What can I do today? Can I humble myself a little bit more? Lord, who I forgive who, Lord? I'm sorry. Do what, Lord? See, you're waiting on the Lord by being busy in his service. See? You're not just sitting around waiting. You're occupying space and time, being busy. And so we need to understand that sometimes when the Lord commands us to do something, he's waiting for us to make the first step. You got to make the first move. But when we start talking about spiritual warfare, when we talk about a word like lonely, let me show you how deceptive this can be. Because whenever something is dealing with your soul, you must understand the subtlety of it. The way things creep into your soul are very subtle. I mean, you live in a world that tells you one thing, and then the truth comes along and tells you something different. Then you realize the subtlety of the world system and how even the world system itself will pacify us into a place where we'll take their word and their definition.
Yes, sir.
And then we'll change their word and their definition and say, it's just a part of life. It's natural. It's natural for me to get lonesome. It's natural for me to be lonely sometimes. Sounds right. Sounds right. But God just said it's not good to be alone. So God knows something about loneliness, lonesomeness, being alone, and lonely. They're all different words. You see? Now, when we start talking about loneliness, well, let's just say alone. Alone means you are detached. When you're lonely, you're detached from companionship. That's lonely. Lonesome is not detached from companionship, but it's a detachment from areas of life that you may have grown accustomed to. See, some people go to work and work all their lives, and then all of a sudden they stop. You don't know how much that life, that the job consumed of your life until you don't have to do it anymore. You don't see those people that you've been seeing for 35, 40 years, who have really become your family. Because you worked with them so long, now you don't. Now here come, I'm lonely. Come on now. I'm lonely. I'm lonely. See, the enemy can get into your psyche and really affect the way you think about where you are. And let me tell you this. There's nothing like having your dependency kicked from under you. Kick the crutch right from under your hand. Bam. Then loneliness comes. We need to understand loneliness, because God says it's not good for man to be alone, but there is an epidemic of loneliness. And the thing about it, you can have loneliness in an entire city. What do I mean? You walk past people every day. You look into their eyes. You don't know them. You see what they do. You see what people do. You observe how you live your life. You're looking through windows. You see people at shopping centers. You see people on your job. You see people all the time. And we have nothing in common. We don't touch. I don't say hello to you. You don't say hello to me. We're passing every day. We're just people. Alone. The big picture is alone. Because you don't know them. They don't know you. You don't observe all that they do. They don't observe all that you do. Sometimes we can get so much in a crowd of loneliness that you could drop dead on the street. And it will not stop the progress of not one of those individuals who looked in your eyes.
Amen.
They'll keep on going. Business as
Amen.
Usual.
Yes.
Ah, lonely. Sometimes the enemy gets into that area and he plays us like a guitar. He'll whisper things like, oh, you're all by yourself, huh? See, and sometimes when he says it like that, what he's actually saying, he's not saying that you're all by yourself per se. He's actually saying you are forsaken, huh?
Come on.
See, when you talk about the spirit of loneliness, you got to understand something. It's trying to distract you from the truth that's found in God's word.
Amen.
What is the truth of God's word? I'll never leave you.
Nor forsake.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
So the enemy gets in that soulish realm and he'll say things like, ah. All by yourself, huh?
Yeah.
And he's not pointing the picture at you or the friend that you're detached from. He's testing your spiritual modem to see if you understand that God is with you. You don't know. He just wants to see if you're cognizant of the fact that God will never leave you. But if you confess it, what he wants you to do is confess.
Yeah. My God.
Yes.
Push the truth away. Just push the truth away. You see? Because if he can get you to push the truth of God away, you'll become constantly consumed with yourself. See, when you're really lonely, the first thing you're really going to get consumed with yourself. It's all about me. If you can consume enough, what he will do, he'll open up. If he open up that door, he feels he can open another door for something else. Because the object of what the enemy wants to do, he wants to just open a door. He don't want to just bring one thing. He want to bring several things with him. Let's go to the 1 Kings chapter 18. That's what he wants to do. He wants to bring in some other foes of enemies. This is good. See, this thing about God, see, and this has been something that the enemy has poured into this planet, and he makes people think that they're all by themselves all the time. But I heard the word says, if even mother and father forsake you, good God Almighty. You see, God is trying to show us, I don't care who leaves you in this three-dimensional realm, I'm always here. Always. See? There is not a day that God is not with you. There's not a minute, there's not a second that God leaves your side. Not once. He's in here. He's not going to leave you. Now, 1 Kings chapter 18. Now, this is interesting to me because the reason I want you to look in here is because this is an individual who was mightily called of God, who did wonderful works for God, who was just a man of miracles and miraculous occurrences, and things were just great. But the thing that caught my attention is that he used a phrase, little too much to me. He used the term so many times, God had to confront him. He would always tell his business, he'd always say, and I alone.
Yes.
They've done all of this, but me and I'm alone. I'm the one standing. And only I alone was here to do it. And then only I, against all the prophets of Baal, only I alone. See, that's a different type of alone. That's boasting. Alone. You got to understand, see, alone has these different gates. Lonesome, loneliness, all of these are different gates. And the thing is about loneliness is that you can't choose loneliness. Lonely? You can't choose. Alone is a choice. I'm choosing to be alone. Why are you over here by yourself? I choose to be by myself. I'm choosing to be alone. You didn't come in with anybody? No, I'm choosing to be alone. See, you can choose that. But when you are lonely, it comes about because of circumstances, situations. It creeps up. It's chilly creepy. You ever been lonely and it creeped up on you? Chilly creepy. It just comes all of a sudden like a smoke cloud under your door. Man, I'm lonely. I'm lonesome. I don't feel good here by myself. I don't feel good by myself. See, even that has another avenue. Because you can be alone in a situation. Some people don't like to be in a room alone. Shut the door. No, open that door. Open that door. Don't shut that door. So, we'll see more. Now, let's go through this and we'll see some spots in here. Now it came about after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the face of the earth. So Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria. And we know the story. Ahab called Obadiah, and Obadiah was over his house, and he said some things to him. And he said to Obadiah, he called Obadiah, who feared the Lord greatly. For it came about when Jezebel destroyed. Now listen, I'm going to show you what happens. Now Jezebel destroyed the prophet of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them in caves by 50s and provided them with bread and water. Then Ahab said to Obadiah, go through the land to all the springs of water, to all the valleys perhaps. We will find grass and keep the horses and mules alive and not have to kill some of the cattle. It's a drought. So they divided the land between them to survey it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. Now, as Obadiah was on the way, behold, Elijah met him. And he recognized him and fell on his face and said, is this you, Elijah, my master? And he said to him, it is. Go say to your master, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, what sin have I committed that you are giving your servant into the hands of Ahab to put me to death? Obadiah was saying, wait a minute now. Everybody looking for you? It's been some folk that went looking for you and they fought, went back to the king. The king got rid of them. Now you're going to send me back to him? What you trying to do? You and I are supposed to have something going. You and I, me. We're the same background. I hid some prophets. But you want me to go back to the king? Okay. And now, what he says. He says in verse 10, as the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent to search for you. And when they said he is not here, he made the kingdom of nation or nations swear that they could not find you. And now you are saying, go say to your master, behold, Elijah is here. And it will come about when I leave you that the Spirit of the Lord will carry you where I do not know. That's what Obadiah said. I'll go tell him that the Lord going to take you somewhere else. So when I come and tell Ahab and he cannot find you, he will kill me. Although I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. I'm a God-fearing man. Okay. Verse 14, now you are saying, go say to your master, behold, Elijah is here. He then will kill me. And then let's go down in verse 21. Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord, this is a bad man talking. Yes. If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. That's a bad scenario that we see. But keep listening to his words. Now here's a man who's getting ready to do something really awesome. And you, if you read about Elijah, you know that he's done some great things for God. Amen. Now he's done all these great things. The rain is coming. He challenges the prophets. And he embarrasses the prophets. And God is mightily working with him and by him. Now look in chapter 19. After all this stuff he did. Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and even more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And he was afraid. Listen. And he was afraid. He was afraid of some words. Yes. Upset by some words that somebody spoke. Amen. How many of us do that? Amen. See, when you're afraid because the words are spoken. Right then, your mindset and your spirit of your soul has opened the door and the enemy comes right in. Yes. And he comes in and shoots that right in and it makes you distract from the word of God. Yes. He knows God is working with him. Uh-huh. But instead of hearing what God is saying in this ear, he hears what Jezebel is saying in that one. And the Bible says he became afraid. Here's a man standing before 450 prophets. And Jezebel said, by tomorrow this time, you're going to be just like one of the other ones. Okay? He was afraid and rose and ran for his life. Came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servants there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now. O Lord, take my life, for I'm not better than my father's. He's alone. He's alone because he keeps saying it. This kind of alone is I'm the only one God can count on. That's the kind of alone. That kind of alone. I'm the only one God is using right now. So he runs. Hides under a juniper tree. and prays that he wish he'd never been born. It'd be better off if I die. Not only is this is what aloneness will do. It can suck you up. And what that alone time will do, occasionally, it'll bring in another adversary, bring in another enemy. Yes. Now Elijah is facing depression. Oh, he's depressed now. Sometimes, you know, when you're ill-equipped to understand that God is with you, that spirit of loneliness will come on you. It is a spirit. Understand this. It is not something that people experience because they say it's a natural thing to have. That is a lie from hell. See how we can fall prey to a subtle spirit that we'll think is just the norm. It's not the norm. There's an enemy. God said it's not good that man be alone. But it'll creep in subtly, and when it creeps in and it's received, it'll turn into something that it'll bring other cohorts. It'll bring the spirit of depression. Depress you. I'm so alone, I don't know what to do. Next thing you know, while you're lonely, you start pulling down all the shades. You don't even go to house no more. People call you on the telephone. You're too lazy to pick the phone up. Y'all better talk back to me. Don't want to go nowhere. Don't want to talk to nobody. Always dark in your house. In the daytime, don't even cut the lights on. You might as well be on crack. You become irritable. The enemy has trapped you in a corner and got you exactly where he wants. And let me tell you something. The enemy's attack is always to get you by yourself. He always wants to get you by yourself somewhere. You see it in nature. You see it in the beast of the field. You see it in a pack of wolves. If they can just isolate one. If I can just isolate one of them, I can isolate one weak one. Oh, they don't isolate the strong one. They always go for the weak one. Just like Satan. He'll always wait for you to become weak. In your time of weakness, he'll get you by yourself. He'll start telling you what somebody said about you and they ain't said nothing. And when you hear that, you're going to isolate yourself even more. Elijah got to the place now he's so isolated now he's depressed. He gets up after getting taken care of. He runs to a cave. He's been taken care of and still runs to a cage. He stays in the cage a little too long, in the cave a little too long, and God had to come down and ask him, what you doing here, Elijah? This is not our destination. Good God from Zion. This is not your destination. See, sometimes y'all come into a place, you hit a place in a hard place, in a rock, and you get in, you think that's your place. That's not the place. That's not your destination. There's no stop sign there. God said, get up and go to the place where we're supposed to go together. If you, that's what he's saying. If you go, I'm going with you.
Yes.
I don't understand now. If goodness and mercy is following you all the days of your life, when you fall down, goodness and mercy fall down. When you get up, goodness and mercy get up. All the days of your life. That little stopover ain't no destination. Sometimes you go on a journey in your life and things are looking good and you got a plan and you got a goal and then you stop somewhere a little too long. You shouldn't be there. Keep going. God said, what you doing here, Elijah? Why you here? I'm with you. He said, I'm with you. If you don't go, I can't go. You holding me up. If it's God in you, sometimes when you're not moving, you're holding God up. Sometimes we don't see the manifestation of God's goodness because we're holding him up. We sitting somewhere when God's saying, move. You're supposed to be over there, not over here. Not down there doing that. Not down there crying in your milk. And not weeping and moaning and talking about how lonely you are. Get up. Get up. You got to get up. Got to get up. It's not good for man to be alone. So, look in verse 14. Then he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. He talking about other folk. Torn down thine altars and killed thy prophets with thy sword. And I alone am left. And they seek my life to take it away. Oh boy, he's just a crying. And then and listen, he talks about him being alone. He said it to God one time and he said it again. He says, just me left. God said, man, come on now. I got 7,000 prophets that haven't bowed their knee. You talking about how, see, God will get tired of hearing us say that. Yes. Yes. See, there are certain things that we can say and not know his covenant, not know our promises, that we'll continually confess the opposite. Yeah. I'm broke. Yeah. I don't have no money. That's how we say it. I don't have no money. I don't have a job. Let me show you something that's going to really wake you up. Go to Romans 8:28. No, let's go to 8:32. I'm sorry, let me get that right. Because I know what, everybody know what 8:28 says. But it's 8:32. Then I'm going to show you something. And this is rich to me. Because it was a key for me. Listen to this. This will stop you from saying what you're not getting, what you don't have. Are you there?
Amen.
He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? You know what he's saying? If I gave you my son, my only son, I don't have nothing else to give. If there was something I couldn't give you, I could not have given you my son. You got to hear it. If I could have given you anything, I could not give it to you because I gave my son. And with my son, everything comes with him. That means you're going to have to ask me for nothing else and don't think you're going to get it. Because I don't hold any good thing back. I gave my son. And will I not freely give you all things?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Freely give you all things?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
If anything would have been better than my son, I would have gave it.
Yes, sir.
But my son was the ultimate. Stop asking for stuff and not expecting to get it. Ask and you shall receive. Ask and believe that it's coming. Trust me that I'm going to give it to you. God Almighty, if I gave you my son, what's a car?
Amen.
Come on now, Pastor.
What's a house?
Yes, sir.
What's a job?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
What's a healing?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
I gave you everything.
Everything.
He said, he who did not spare his own son.
Thank you, Heavenly Father.
But delivered him up for us all. Yes. How will he not also with him freely give us all things? With him.
Yes, sir.
You looking for a husband? Lord, give me a husband with Jesus. Lord, give me a wife with Jesus.
That's right.
Lord, give me a job with Jesus. With him, freely give us all things. With him, freely give us all things. I need a car. Bring Jesus with it. With it, bring Jesus. A new mind, give Jesus with it. With him, freely give us all things. See, our mind's got a long way to go. That's why it's such a spiritual battle in your mind, because whoever has control of this has the complete control of your belief system. Twist your belief system up, having you, it's all right to ask for certain things, but certain things I can't ask God for. I'm going to ask him for this because I don't believe that he want me to have that. Stop blaming that on God. Blame that on your faith. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry, I didn't have faith to believe. Heal me in my faith district. Help my unbelief. Heal me in the faith district. See, you can trouble. Elijah, somehow or another, doubt came in. And he doubted the power of God that functioned in his life prior to Jezebel. You see, now God has been doing something, and then a person comes along and says something, and you stop believing God.
Amen.
A person comes to you and tell you that I don't believe God wants you to have that. Who are you going to listen to? This is after Elijah just told the people. How long share your heart between two opinions? This is the same man. How long y'all going to stand in the place of doubt? And the next thing you know, he on a juniper tree. Talking about if I had never been born. See what happens? What being alone can do to you? It can choke the life out you. Choke the life out you. Let's see now. Take Jesus. Jesus always prayed alone. That's different. See, there's a difference. There's a different alone and I'm alone. That's an alone by choice. Amen. Jesus chose to be alone. Matter of fact, when Jesus goes away to pray, we very rarely, hardly ever see him praying. Because he goes off to a place that he doesn't allow other people to go. He goes on his own. But it's amazing how the spirit of aloneness can grip even Jesus. Because when Jesus had to go to Gethsemane in Luke 22, he told the disciples, come pray with me. He never told them that before. But this was a lonesome place, a desolate place. They say it's the Garden of Gethsemane. But because you're lonely, it becomes desolate. And he calls the disciples to come pray with him. Jesus needed somebody. I need somebody to pray with me. I'm feeling by myself. Why? Because he's going to die alone. There's a difference between praying alone and dying alone.
Wow. That's right, Pastor.
God Almighty. Come pray with me. I'm by myself. I'm all alone. And he got so alone, he was wondering whether he should drink from that cup. Yes. Father, alone. And that aloneness carried itself all the way to Calvary. Because Jesus asked the question, why hast thou forsaken me? Feeling by himself. You see, that's why I know it's not a natural thing. Like the world tells you that you're supposed to be lonesome. Supposed to be lonely. Jesus was lonely for a purpose. He was alone for a reason. He was the only one that could do what he did. No one else could do what he did. No one else could take the sins of humanity. No one else. That was the ultimate in being alone. But for us, he was alone, so we won't have to be.
See,
he broke the back of that subtle deception, so we won't have to be alone. And he tells you, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And God is never in the mood of leaving us anyway. Never, never, never. Moses felt alone. Moses was married with the people. He felt like he was by himself. But God always told him, I'm with you.
Yes. Amen.
I'm with you. Man, I'm with you. And see, and that's the spirit of wisdom that we have to cultivate, of knowing that God is with us all the time. Yes. I'm feeling by myself, but I know you're here. I know you're with me.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
You have to go up against people on a job, and you know you're telling the truth, and everything they have is against you, and you can't get nobody. Let me tell you something. I'm telling you from my experience. To have to go against people by yourself, because people who call themselves Christians, they back out because of their job.
Yes.
And rather than to preserve Christianity, they rather preserve their jobs. Which means they don't care if you get fired, standing up for them.
That's right.
You're talking about alone. And it brings all kinds of thoughts. The enemy brings all kinds of thoughts. Try to make you disgusted with your fellow believers. They're Christians. And it makes me want to just say, well, what's wrong with you? What kind of Christians are you? That was just a door opening from the enemy. That's just a door from the enemy. Trying to get me to be disgusted even with the body of Christ. Focus more on me instead of on the God that goes in the door with me. Because if he told me way back then I'll never leave you, he's going in the door with me. That's why in the New Testament he says, when I take you before kings, don't say nothing. Let me do the talking. I'm with you. Joshua, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. He is not going to leave us. When you're lonely and you miss human companionship, you have to fight like the, not like the devil. Don't do that. No. No, you don't. Don't do that. But you got to fight with everything that's on the inside of you. Let me tell you something. There's stuff on the inside of you, but you got to stir it up. You got to stir up what's on the inside of you. Stop letting that thing lie dormant on the inside. Let me show you what I'm saying. Let me see your hands of the coffee drinkers. I ask you this. Now listen, has anybody ever fixed coffee, got busy doing stuff, and forgot to stir it and went back to drink it? What is this? Then it dawns on you. Man, I didn't stir it up. But once you stir it, ooh, that's what your life is like. Sometimes you need to stir it up on the inside. Stir yourself up. Stir your gift up. Stir up the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Stir God up on the inside. Stir the word up on the inside. You got to stir it up. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I may look like I'm by myself, but I'm not alone.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, looking from my house, looking across the street, looking through your window, yes, peeping, sir, through your Venetian blind, I may look like I'm alone,
yes, sir,
but I'm not by myself.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm not going to give the enemy any victory by pigeonholing me and putting me in a box and thinking that my God has forsaken me, he never will. He never will. He'll never leave me. And you sound almost braggadocious when you say that. Nope, not my God. He'll never leave me. Never, never, never. And the enemy will come in and say, you keep on talking like that. I don't care what he says. I got to believe what God says. Say it, he'll never leave me. Say he'll never forsake me. Say he'll go with me wherever I go. He'll never leave me somewhere. He'll always be with me. You're not by yourself. Glory to God. Even in your weeping moments, you're not by yourself. You're not alone. Start getting lonely, go into scriptures.
Amen.
Find out what he said about being with you.
Go ahead.
Go to the scriptures and say, God, I know you said you're with me. I know you never leave me. And sometimes you may feel like it. There you go, those feelings. See, you don't trust them. God called us out of the feeling realm when he first saved us. He called us out of the feeling realm and placed us into the realm of faith. Now, don't get me wrong. God blesses us with feelings. He has purpose for feelings. But don't let your feelings be controlled by your emotions or being operating from the soul realm. The soul realm is a dark place. A lot of us don't want to go there. But are you? Even songs. I think about the song that, are you lonely tonight? Here's a person already lonely. Then they hear that. Yes, I am. Next thing you know, we just agreeing with the enemy. Psalm said, be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with you. He's with you. And let me tell you something. If God recognizes God recognizes the type and shades of loneliness that we experience. He recognizes that. That's why David made that discerning statement. Because God knows what level you're on and where you are in that place where you feel desolate. See, aloneness is desolation.
Yes, it is.
You can feel desolate. Yeah. God knows, but God ministers in that area. See, you can't. You can't create a space for yourself where you can make this work in your behalf. God has to do this. The enemy has a foothold. God has to pull us out of that. But God knows how to minister right where you are with what you need. There's somebody say, I need a woman. How you know? How you know? Adam didn't know.
Come on.
Adam didn't know. How you know it's what you need? That be what you may not need. You say it's what you need because of what you see through your blinders. Everybody else got one. Most people got one. I need something. I need something. And let me tell you something. There's something about if you, the worst that you can do when you if you're lonely and then you end up getting with somebody who make you more lonely. Open your eyes and look up here. There are more lonely people that's with somebody than there are lonely people who living alone.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Where your husband? Well, he out there in the garage somewhere.
In his cave.
Well, what do y'all do? Well, I just come home, we walk past each other, and, you know, he go to the kitchen, I go to the living room. And he cut the TV on, I cut the radio on, and I go upstairs, he come downstairs. And only time we see each other, when I say good morning, he say good night. Alone in a crowd. You see? All by yourself. Living with somebody. Living with somebody all by yourself. Mm-hmm. See? Living with somebody and living by yourself. It's not good for man to be alone. See? See, that's why this whole society that we live in is going buck wild, going crazy.
Yes, sir.
It's going absolutely crazy. You don't even have time to romance and be romanced. Because there's such a hurry to be with a person. Because you don't want to feel alone. Because your friends around people and they around people and you by yourself. And the devil is constantly telling you, you'll never have. He tells you that. But God is never going to let the devil have victory over you. Once you turn to the Lord and say, Lord, what you have for me is for me. Adam didn't go get Eve. God brought Eve to him. He didn't have the sense to go find something. God brought her to him. Sometimes you got to wait for God to bring stuff to you. God will bring it to you. Just be patient with the Lord. Ask him if he freely gave us all things. Don't you know he'll hear that prayer? He will bring to you what rightfully belongs to you, which knows how to treat you right. God ain't going to bring you no devil. Amen. You go get that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Mm-hmm. No, you go get the devil. God won't bring you one. Hmm? See, that's what it is. And so now we learn that, okay, I'm lonely. I got to learn how to spend time with God. Get myself together. Let him regulate my mindset. And stop letting the enemy play games with me. You see? See, because in loneliness, there is a spirit, not only depression, but there is a spirit of confusion. You see? And the scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. God is the author of peace. See? And that's what he does. He doesn't bring confusion. He brings peace. Yes. And that's what we tag on to. That's what we tag on to the Lord for. He's not going to bring confusion. The enemy will bring confusion. That's how you know that you have a New Testament enemy. Because he'll bring confusion. Well, we're going to talk more about this. Like I said, we're going to go home today in peace, aren't we? Pastor didn't say nothing to get on your nerve, did he? No, he did not. I'm very careful what the Lord says through me. I don't want to say anything myself. I want him to say everything he has to say. But there's going to be some deliverances in this place from that spirit of aloneness. You see? Because God didn't just bring this up just to let you know what's going on. He brought this up to bring you out of it. So when you walk through this, you'll walk with joy and peace.
Yes, Lord.
Victory, hallelujah.
Yes.
Don't feel like you're all by yourself.
Thank
glory
you.
To God.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord praise.
Thank
hallelujah.
You.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. I know some single people in here. I know y'all single people. I know y'all thinking, well, what is he going to say to me? I'm not going to say nothing. God's going to say it. And he's going to say exactly what you're supposed to get. Amen? Because this is too vast a problem. This is like too vast. There are too many lonely people walking around beside us. You see them every day. Every day you pass them. But like I said, if I did not say this, I want to tell you that loneliness and lonesomeness and aloneness, they all wear disguises. They disguise themselves as something else. And when they disguise themselves in our soul, even we don't know. disguise themselves in your soul. Wow. And that's why you hear the writer says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" You see, loneliness brings a heaviness. But we're going to walk out this thing with victory, knowing God's hand is in this, and pull us right out of that place. Hallelujah. So you don't have to be alone by yourself, and you don't have to be alone in the crowd. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. Lord, we have tapped into an area that we know that you are well aware of. We pray, Father, and trust that, Father, you will minister to all of us. You have chosen to live in these vessels by your power and by your spirit. Father, even in our place of loneliness, you have given us the Spirit of God to lead us and guide us in all the ways of truth, so that we will not fall prey to the plans of the enemy and how he seeks to destroy us from the inside out. But Father, we've been given a cure, for we understand that your word is a lamp to our feet, light to our path. That your word, Lord God, is what causes us to come out of that place of aloneness, putting extended pressure on ourselves and extended pressure on our mindset to try to conform to the way everybody else is feeling. If they feel it, then I must be feeling the same thing. No, Father. You've given us a key. We just ask, Lord, that even as we receive from you today, as you pour into our hearts today, Lord God, that you're a God who never leaves, you're a God who never forsakes, that every step we take is ordered, that your hand is upon us for good things, and that a voice can walk behind us and say, "This is the way, walk ye in it." Cause us to hear that voice. Thank you for giving us strength. This strength. And Lord, you even said that you're a very present help in a time of need. You're very present. You're right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because we need you right now.
Praise Lord.
Lord, I give you praise for that. We thank you together. Thank you for so many who are walking out of that place, Lord, out of that dark place, that place of loneliness. Walk out with joy, with victory, knowing that you are the source. You're the one that meets every need. You're the one who blesses. You're the one who strengthens. And you're the one who holds up. We thank you for that. Thank you now, Lord, for blessing our minds and blessing our hearts, giving us desire, Lord God, to run to you and not to our own selves and to our own places of retreat, but to you. We give you praise. Bless your people today. Strengthen them today. Cause us to seek out your face. Remove the chains that bind us, the ones that have us locked down, ones who have distracted us from you and from what your word declares. We give you praise for it. Now, if the Lord has brought anybody here to this place,